He said, Timothy, remember this in 2 Timothy 3:1. Realize it, understand this very clearly, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And he's not talking about persecution. The Living Bible makes it very clear. It'll be very difficult to be a Christian. Now, there are many ways in which it's difficult to be a Christian, because there are a lot of jobs today where it's difficult to be a Christian, because you have to tell lies or cheat, or, you know, a lot of salesmen and accountants and all that have to cheat and tell lies in many jobs. I'm not saying it's impossible. There are people who live upright lives in all those places, and sometimes they lose their job because they are upright. But it's going to be very difficult to be a Christian because of those reasons. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about it's going to be difficult to be a Christian, but there'll be much more persecution. There was a lot, hardly anybody has experienced persecution like Paul. He got 195 stripes on his back, stoned to death, imprisoned so many times, and people trying to kill him all the time. So that is not what he's talking about. I don't know if Timothy ever suffered as much as Paul. But he says it's going to be difficult to be a Christian in the last days because, listen to this, because verse 5, the people around you who claim to be Christians in your church, verse 5, will have a form of godliness, but not the power. The form means the dress, like I spoke earlier about the dress of humility, but not real humility. It's a fake. It's a counterfeit. And there, he speaks about a dress of godliness. And what is a dress of godliness? That means they'll speak the right language. They won't be non-Christians. They'll be Christians who say, we are evangelical Christians. We are fundamental in our doctrines. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in being born again. We believe in water baptism. We believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we are waiting for the Lord's coming and all that. That is the form of godliness. But it'll only be a form. You know, when Jesus spoke about a wolf in sheep's clothing, the sheep's clothing is the doctrine. Absolutely correct. But inside that doctrine is a wolf. A person whose nature is wanting to bite at others, grab at other sheep, look for the little lambs and exploit them. Well, there are Christians like that. There are pastors like that. There are preachers like that. Any pastor who tries to get money from poor people in his church, he's a wolf. I have no hesitation in saying he's a wolf. But he's got the right doctrine, and he's more dangerous when he has the right doctrine and is interested in, you know, if a wolf comes into a fold, he's not coming there to bless the sheep. He's coming there to bite and take what he can from the sheep, bite off some of their flesh and eat up some of the sheep. And any person, whether he calls himself pastor, preacher, archbishop or whatever it is, if he comes to take advantage of you, to get something from you for himself, maybe bring you under his authority so that you just blindly listen to him and you don't have any direct connection with Christ, he's a wolf. Be careful. The form of godliness is there tremendously in these days. In every denomination, we talk about nominal Christians as those who don't claim to be born again. You see, that's different from churches like Brethren and Pentecostal and the CFC and etc., where we stand against nominal Christianity. But I'll tell you, there's as much of the form of godliness in all these churches, including CFC churches, as there is anywhere else. Because as time goes on, people tend to be taken up with the external, the doctrine, more than the inner life. And the moment you find in your thinking, your inner devotion to Jesus becomes secondary to your external testimony before men, you've already started drifting. That's a very good test to test yourself in. I mean, I test myself in that all the time. Because I'm living in a corrupt world, just like, you know, why do we take a shower? Why do we bathe? Because you smell otherwise in a hot country, there you perspire and perspiration doesn't smell nice. You perspire and you sweat and you feel so sticky. You want to be clean. So every day you cleanse yourself and you use soap and get rid of it. We must do something like that every day in our Christian life as well. What do I need to get rid of? I need to ask myself, has my inner devotion to Jesus Christ been replaced by a desire to impress other people that I'm spiritual? Then you're stinking. That's a stink. Then you need to have a bath and come back to the place where the stink of wanting to impress other people has been cleansed away. I hope you will learn something today, that the thing that makes you stink, or me stink, or anyone, is when we want to desire impress other people in our church or other Christians, that I'm a spiritual person, or that I'm a humble person, or that I'm a holy person. That's an absolute stink. And so then I've already started backsliding. But if I can be free from that, and I say my inner devotion to Christ is what I want to preserve, that I am fervently in love with Jesus Christ, because the first commandment is love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. And I want to check myself to see if I really love the Lord in the midst of a world where people don't love Him. That is the form of godliness. And when you see people like that, and you sense this guy's pretending, it says here in verse 5, avoid such men. It doesn't just say that, okay, be careful. It says avoid them, because you'll get the infection from them. If you spend too much time with them, you will get the infection from them no matter how careful you are. If you hang around always with people who got infectious leprosy, you'll get it. There are infectious diseases that you can easily get. We won't move around too closely with someone. We won't let our children move around too closely with someone who's got AIDS. Very infectious. A small cut on your finger and you can get it through that person. So why are we so careful about infectious diseases but not careful about spiritual infection that we can get from people who only have a form of godliness? I want to obey the scripture which says avoid such people. People ask me, Brother Zach, why can't you fellowship with all the believers? I say, because the Bible says I must avoid certain people. You know, because Paul had earlier told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, look at this. He says, if you want to be, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, last part. If you want to be a vessel sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work, you know what you should do? There are a couple of things you should do. And I think all of us should have a desire to be a vessel useful to the Lord for every good work. Then here are some instructions. First of all, verse 21, cleanse yourself from impurity. From all wickedness, it says in verse 19. Cleanse yourself, and then you'll be a vessel for honor. Now there's a cleansing that God does, that is my past life. I can't cleanse myself from my past sins, because all my righteous deeds are like filthy rags. My past sins, only the blood of Jesus can cleanse me. But my present life, I can cleanse myself. There are many verses that speak about cleansing myself. Here's one of them. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We cleanse ourselves. 1 John 3:3 says, we purify ourselves as Christ is pure. These are three of the important verses. 2 Corinthians 7:1, 1 John 3:3, and here in 2 Timothy 2:21, where it speaks about we cleansing ourselves. There are two sides to cleansing. One is what God does, that is my past life, which I cannot cleanse myself. And the other is my present walk, my inner attitudes. God is not going to do that. if you don't want to do it yourself. Of course, I need God's power to do it. It's through the help of the Holy Spirit that I cleanse myself, but I have to do my part. In other words, I have to judge myself and say, Lord, I see something in me. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to get rid of that. And if I cleanse myself like that, and I also do something else, verse 22, I run away from youthful lusts. There is no point in standing trying to conquer a temptation which is too much for you. Do you know that Jesus didn't just teach us to overcome evil, He also taught us to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation that is too strong for me. If I find a temptation too strong for me, I should run away. If you find there is some girl in your office who is a temptation to you, avoid her as much as possible. Sometimes in an office you cannot avoid these seductive women. But avoid her as much as possible and don't let her get too friendly with you. Don't try to be popular with seductive women. Run away, avoid, and you'll keep yourself pure and you'll be a vessel that God can use. I really believe there are many, many brothers and sisters who are not keeping themselves pure, and that is why God cannot use them. That is why the church suffers. Because there's such a lack of powerful ministry from brothers and sisters. I'm constantly grieved by that. We should have had lots of mighty anointed men in CFC, in these all our churches in these 40 years. I find very few. We should have had many mighty anointed women who bless and encourage the other younger sisters to be godly. Not who jump on them and give them advice, but who are such an example that young sisters will feel like going to them and say, Sister, can you please help me? That's the only type of sister you should go to. Not somebody who jumps on you with advice where you see her and you want to run away. No, one who you see a godliness where you want to go and say, I want something that you have. We need brothers and sisters like that.